Evening.
Right. I just forgot to get mic'd. Can you hear me back there, Johnny? Alright. We'll be in Micah chapter 6. If you want to open your Bibles. Everybody got their pizza?
Amen.
John's got his and he's working on it. I thought we might see Dan tonight.
Got my tea.
He's now, I believe, officially retired.
Wow.
Yeah.
So good, Dan.
We'll give him another congratulations.
He'll probably become stumbling in here in a while.
Yeah, that's why we thought he might be here earlier, though, if he's not having to work. So. But he still has a lot on his plate. So, say hello to Becky in Illinois, who, after 10 years or better of having pizza night on the first Wednesday, still doesn't remember that the first Wednesday's pizza night.
Aww, Becky.
I just wonder how many people were out there wondering why we weren't already live at 7 o'clock. And some of them have been watching for a decade or better.
Becky, you just messed up.
No, I'm not. I'm messing with everybody.
Okay, good. David Trailer showed up for work.
I'm one of you. June and I were just talking about how sometimes we can be so clueless about things and things that had happened to me, and I realized, you know, oh, that explains it. I was telling my story about how I realized that smoke is my kryptonite. It happened about 2 weeks after I met her. And then I got really sick because I was exposed to a bunch of smoke. But then I remembered every time I'd gotten really bad sick, it was always related to smoke. So some of us are a little slow, but we eventually get it. Did you have your...
Yeah, well, talk about forgetting. I knew it'd be tonight, but I came up here and I was looking on MeWe for the songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's times
then
where.
Then he told me. Oh yeah.
There's times where I've actually posted on MeWe that it's pizza night, and then I'll list songs we're supposed to sing, and I'll remember, oh, we're not going to sing. It's pizza night. All right. So, with that, we'll remind you to get your prayer cards. Raise your hand. Jane's going to bring those around. And then also we will remind the onliners to send yours in. We already got John from state of Washington. We got one from Turid in Norway. Send those in. We'll look at the email account and see those. Silence your cell phone ringer as we merge into this. So we'll get into our study, but we ask you first to not talk over me or the video clips that we show, and hold your questions and comments to the end of the Prairie Hills update. Israel at War, May 1st, 2024. My brother is somewhere out in the sticks of West Virginia enjoying his birthday today. I'll still say happy birthday, brother. Jenny and I sang to him. I won't tell you how old he is, but this year I'll be turning 55, and he's almost 4 years younger than me. So do the math. Day 204, 133 hostages, 36 deceased as far as we know. Netanyahu tells Blinken, it sounds like you just turned not to cuss when you say his name. Netanyahu tells Blinken he will not agree to end a war on Hamas as part of the hostage deal. They're trying to pressure him to tell Hamas, hey guys, if you just go along with this and give us our hostages, then we'll just call this whole thing home. And I think when Netanyahu said we're going to kill them all, he meant it. And no, he didn't mean all. He didn't mean all Palestinians, but he could kill 80% of them, and he would be killing the Hamas people. That's the truth. They're going after the, not just the leaders, but the people they know that are part of the militant wing. But Netanyahu says Rafah offensive will go ahead with or without the hostage deal. And so that's, did you say right answer? That's right answer. That's right. The protesters have the goal of hurting Israel's economy. They're not just protesting the war. They want to damage Israel, and that their economy is the main thing they're after. Brown University, as all these other Ivy League schools, were started by good Christian people, and now Satan controls them. Mm-hmm. Brown became the first U.S. university to consider divesting from Israel. Now, hopefully they're just playing along and they're going to have a meeting and then they won't do it, but who knows? Five students will be invited to meet with five members of the corporation of Brown University in May to present their arguments to divest Brown's endowment from, quote, companies enabling and profiting from the genocide in Gaza, end quote. So right there, they should call it off because they used the wrong word. It's war, not genocide. Fact. Meanwhile, the pushback against protesters continues. This is great. They had to put the, I believe this is UNC Chapel Hill, and they had put up the Palestinian flag, and the chancellor of the school saw fit that the Palestinian flag was taken down, and they put the American flag back up. Now, this is funny too. They didn't show this clip and another clip when they took the Palestinian flag down in this school area. Now, this guy explains the student protesters. Of course, we know that a lot of them aren't students. But of those who are students, this guy.
I think the majority of these college students honestly know exactly what they're protesting for.
The majority of these college students are here on a government loan. They are studying something unbelievably stupid. They are basically being built for money. They have no idea. It's the next cool thing to do. The average person, I think, at these protests is the kid that isn't cool or good-looking enough to be invited to a house party. So because they're not invited to a house party, they make their own, which is out here, which is why what happens when they summon these people with this flyer, 10,000 of them show up. These are 10,000 people with nowhere else to be.
Several clips there where they interview these kids and they have no idea why they're even there.
They're stupid.
On YouTube with Columbia Yosemite News, where everyone is welcome. LGBTQH.
H.
Hamas.
Yeah, I totally see Hamas.
Yeah.
It's so trending right now.
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Do you know why it's true? Because it rhymes. Just look at all this toxic Zionist propaganda. Kidnapped in Gaza? Does this look like Gaza to you?
Yeah, but I have no idea what Gaza looks like.
And they're smiling. Do hostages smile? Sign of flyers.
So is this.
Do they think we're stupid?
Stupid? I major in queer post-colonial astrology. Ew. Jews make the world dirty.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm racist fluid.
Exactly. And after a little break from all this activism, we want to say hello to our BFF.
Bestie Freedom Fighter.
Abu Fatwa in Gaza. Salam alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. And inshallah, Allah will kill you all infidels.
Thank you so much for joining us. Love the headpiece, the all oppression chic. Very dread.
Mr. Fatwa, how are you? Are you safe?
Oh yes, I'm safe. I'm in a tunnel under the Gaza hospital. Above me, I have Allah and 2 million civilians protecting me.
Community is so important these days.
Do you need like humanitarian aid, food, fuel, medicine?
It's okay. I have everything. I'm only hungry for rockets.
As long as it's organic.
Yeah.
I wish I could be there with you.
You can. You can come to Gaza anytime, and we will throw you from the roof, you homosexual dirt.
You hear? You don't want to throw me a rooftop party.
They are so welcoming and inclusive.
So, shukran. And you are also very welcome to come here to America.
We will come. First we finish with Israel. And America is next.
Great. So, I guess we'll see you soon.
Yes, it would be a blast.
Can't wait. It will be so multicultural.
Ya Allah, you are so stupid.
Thank you so much, Abu. We love you.
I won't even bother killing you. It's a waste of bullets.
Good vibes only.
It's better you just kill yourself.
Okay, bye.
Die.
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be just free.
Yeah, that sounds better.
It is better.
That was from Israeli TV. That's, they hit the nail on the head right there. And this lady explains the fact that these are not anti-war student protests.
You see this? Are you paying attention? This is the Associated Press once again telling Americans how we should think. Anti-war protests? Responding to war with violence and destruction is supposed to represent some sort of injustice in Gaza? Instead of trying to feed a narrative, Associated Press, report the facts. These are not anti-war. These are pro-terrorist, anti-Jewish, anti-American protests. At Columbia University, you have pro-Hamas, pro-Jihad supporters breaking glass doors, taking over a building and hanging up a Palestinian flag. Nothing anti-war about this. Let's be honest with Americans, Associated Press. Countries like Qatar have sown seeds of discord in American colleges for decades. Billions of dollars in funding. What did you think would happen? Administrators, professors have become anti-American, spreading the ideology in the minds of students. So here we are. No, these are not anti-war protests. These are pro-terrorist, anti-American, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, nihilistic, and designed to tear down American institutions.
I just want to suggest the following chant in response for any pro-Israel protesters, counter-protesters, and that is, you can chant, you can lie, but this is war, not genocide. They should be chanting that, because that's one of the war of propaganda is being fought over those two words, war and genocide. We stand with Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Number two, symptoms of the crumbling foundation due to religious apostasy in America. This is an address at the United Methodist General Conference taking place this week.
Today we are hypocrites if we celebrate resiliency without acknowledging that the church has been complicit in supporting a pedagogy of patriarchy that fuels a hermeneutic of hubris, while too often refusing to dismantle systems of domination. Until we stop insinuating that there is something wrong with individuals who are gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, or queer, we are complicit in their harm.
She is full of the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
I don't care what your sin is. I'm to tell you it's a sin.
Amen.
She doesn't love homosexuals. She is content for them to die in their sin and go to hell.
Yep.
That's the truth. Now, Tucker Carlson and Megan Basham, they talk about a guy named Russell Moore. Now, this was one of the former leaders of the so-called ethics board. I think they have a long title for it, in the Southern Baptist Convention. He now is the editor-in-chief of Christianity Today, which is should be called apostasy today.
Amen.
And he has been against the MAGA movement from the very beginning. He sides constantly with the sodomites and the leftists all the time. He's taking money, they'll talk about here, from the Soros and Rockefeller front groups. That's where he gets his money.
So that's what they're talking
about. But Russell Moore is himself a political leader, and he does, it seems from my outsider's perspective, very much like he is paid to subvert American traditional Christianity on behalf of the Democratic Party. He seems like he's betraying his fellow Christians for money.
He went and became the editor-in-chief at Christianity Today. They have launched a curriculum that is a political Bible study to help Christians reframe their political identity. It's funded by people like the Rockefellers. They fund a lot of left-wing things like abortion and quote-unquote gender-affirming care for minors and youth. When you look at this, you go, here you have guys like Russell Moore, David French, who are taking money from hard-left secular foundations to push their political curriculum into churches, onto Christian campuses. This is explicitly political lobbying. There's just a huge irony there, or we might call it hypocrisy and Phariseeism.
That's it. So you have the Methodists, that's Southern Baptists, and here's what most Pentecostals and Charismatics are being taught. You can put any one of their preachers up here, but here's this lady named Kimberly Jones.
I walked in today with this kimono on. My son said, you can't wear that. I said, why? He said, you already got hated on this week enough. I said, let me wear it. Can't nobody, said, can't nobody stop me. But who? Huh? Not your wife, not your husband, not your boss, not your mama, not your daddy, not no disease, not no infirmity.
You
got
to keep moving in the season. Because I've been prophesying to you all month that you are a kingdom millionaire.
Our scripture at this church is Amos 9:13. What does it say? Where's the rest of y'all? Surely y'all know the scripture. I brainwashed you with it. Listen to me. It won't be long now. God's decree said things are about to happen so fast. My head is about to spin. Blessing upon blessing. I won't be able to keep up. So when they decline my loan, when they don't give me the job, when they don't give me a raise, I know that he's got something better for me. It's hard to rejoice when you ain't seeing it yet. But if you can start dancing, I'm talking when you get home, you get you some socks, put them on your feet, turn on Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, and slide around your house. Let the devil know I'm back today and what God is about to do in my life. I will not walk into October the same. Listen to this. Listen to this.
I'm telling you. You have friends, you have neighbors, you have relatives, you have co-workers who go to Pentecostal charismatic churches, and that's what they call preaching. They don't learn a lick of Bible. They hear the same thing in different, they use whatever Bible verse they want to, and that's what they, and it's all about their real God of the Pentecostal charismatic word faith churches is mammon. That's all they talk about. And only God and Jesus and Holy Spirit and the Bible and all that is just a means to an end of getting more money. She's prophesying over everybody in her church. You are a kingdom millionaire. And so forth and so on. Look at that thing she's wearing. I don't know if you can you see what that is?
It's $1.
It's $100. But she wouldn't dare wear $1. That'd be at least $100. How much you think it's called a money kimono? How much you think one of those costs? If you're interested, it's only $1,175. That's what she's wearing.
She's ready for Halloween.
Well, I'll guarantee you, she's spending money on everything and anything, and that's why she preaches what she does. Because they sucker the suckers, and they tell them, if you give me not a tithe, we're talking probably some of these people are giving 50% of their income. And the more you give with that seed faith offering, I watched a little bit of this clip. She does that whole time she's preaching.
Sounds like a
pitfall. Be informed, pray and act accordingly. Got 5 minutes for question comments. 4 minutes. If anybody has anything. Mary?
Do you see that kimono? It's called the manifestation kimono.
Yeah. It's like if you wear it, it will come.
She sounds like a pit bull on steroids.
Yeah.
the child woman.
Yeah.
Now, the Christianity today, back in the 80s, is considered a communist front.
Yeah.
Did attack the Jack Chick for his comments?
Oh, yeah.
There was attack and anything that was fundamentally right.
John R. Rice is sort of the Lord exposed him plenty. Johnny?
Just an observation I made recently on one of the terms we'll hear is prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
But the problem with all the people preaching that today is they're in the wrong dispensation.
Well, that was the point. Did you see the underneath the Amos 9:13, she was quoting a verse that's about the millennium.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah, for those who didn't see it, there's people listening to the audio. You go read Amos 9:13. It's about the millennium. She's telling her people it's for them now. No. You're exactly right, but that's what that was the point of that.
And I was looking back at the Old Testament because under the God pretty much laid out if Israel obeyed the law, they pretty much had a prosperity.
Absolutely.
God would bless them in pretty much every way.
Yeah. In our Deuteronomy study this Saturday, there's one of several times where God told somebody who was fighting, if they get married, they're supposed to spend this first year with their wife and take care of the home and do that for a whole year. Then they could go off to war. Mm-hmm. And that was just in case they didn't come back from war. But if Israel as a nation stayed true to God and follows His word, they didn't have high casualty rates. They didn't have very many people, if at all, come home in body bags. And so that's not true about any other country on the face of the earth. But I mean, as far as a covenant promise. But I think that if a country were to truly be godly and following Christ wholeheartedly, I think they would see a difference in the body bag count if it came to a defensive war, which is the only kind that you're supposed to fight. But we lost a lot of good men in World War II, but there were a lot of filthy, blaspheming, drunk, fornicating liars that got killed over there too. And you wonder what the body count might have been, how much less it might have been if there'd been a revival going on rather than what, So, yeah, John.
Yeah. As far as all the prosperity gospel from the surveys that I've seen taken, at least 54% of the churches in America preach on prosperity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a huge number.
It's crept into denominational Baptist churches, Nazarene, Church of Christ Christian Union. I heard preachers preach in those churches in the early 90s because I was hobnobbing with guys that went to those churches, and I'd sit there and think, how in the world? They sound like Kenneth Copeland sometimes. All right. Well, apostasy's part of it. Great falling away. So let's open with a word of prayer and then get into our Bible study and ask Brother Brian Massey, if you would, open the Bible study prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time tonight and thank you for your perfect word. Lord, these are things that we don't hear anywhere else. Our world is saturated with media. It's all full of lies. They don't want to tell anything of your book. You've given all of this in advance, Lord. We praise your holy name for it. We pray for Israel, and for your protection for Israel, and all that's going on over there, and for anyone in Gaza that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they turn to you, as well as those in Israel, and all of those on college campuses that we witness that are willfully ignorant and protesting anyway. Lord, we pray in your holy name, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. And ye walk in their counsels. Micah 6, beginning verse 9. We're going to complete chapter 6, Lord willing, and the church don't rise. If the church does rise, we won't care. With the Lord rebuking Israel for the fact that they don't walk in His counsel, but says to them, ye walk in their counsels. That's how the gist will come to the end here. But we're going to read from verses 9 through 16. I'll begin in verse 9. You join me in the even verses. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof a hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. Amen. So, Micah lays out the situation in Israel in his day with the conditions in verses 9 through 12, the consequences in 13 through 15, and then he'll talk about the causes in verse 16. The religio-political and socio-economic situation is dismal in Northern Kingdom, 710 B.C. That's when this is taking place about there, boss. Religio-political. In Israel, it was a church state. In America, we have a separation between church and state. It's not what the liberals make it out to be. In America, it means that we don't have a state church. That's all it means. The Congress will pass no law establishing religion. That's, the founders made it clear what they meant by that. If you go to England, the Anglican Church is the state church. You pay taxes to support that church. In America, no tax money goes to any church because we don't have a state church. In other countries, like in Russia, you used to have the Russian Orthodox Church under the Tsars, and money went to support the Russian Orthodox Church, and it's that way still in several other countries. Contrary to what you might be told by the news media and the schools and everything, there's one main group that's responsible for that separation between church and state, and it's the Baptists. And I believe it was John Quincy Adams, who was one of the early founders. He wrote a book where he actually talked about how the Baptists, he went beyond just the issue of this matter. He said the Baptists were the closest thing to biblical Christians on the planet. And that's why I tell everybody, we're Baptist in practice. The reason why we don't use the name is because most Baptists aren't Baptists anymore. And I got tired of, we used the name for a few years, and I got tired of dealing with these people who come to visit us and want us to be like this or that Baptist group they came from. So we just went with, what are we? We're Bible Believers in Fellowship.
Amen.
So that's how we got the name.
Oh, definitely.
And since then, it is amazing. Since then, no one's come here expecting us to be like something out of, you know, Jack Hiles or, you know, Tennessee Temple when it was around, and, you know, all these different cliques and groups, but also the Southern Baptists, American Baptists, and all these other groups, General Baptists. Now they just come knowing that we're a bunch of crazy King James Bible thumpers, and that's what
Amen.
We want to.
Yep.
And then the socioeconomic I don't think needs a lot of explanation, but there's the social and societal and economic things that they call it socioeconomic because they go kind of hand in hand. They link in a lot of ways. And so that's where you'll hear people assess things in those terms. But these are the conditions in verses 9 through 12. Beginning verse 9, it says, "The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name." You may not think of yourself as a wise man or wise woman, but if you're a saved believer in Jesus Christ, you're a lot wiser than those who aren't.
Amen.
What kind of a wise man chooses to go to hell? Of course, it's nothing, and I don't think anybody in this room has this problem. It's nothing to be proud of. I hate when I see shirts and things that say, proud Christian. Proud to be a Christian. That's just the wrong sentiment. We're not ashamed. But there, you can be not ashamed and not be proud as well. We're told over and over, humble yourself. And we're to walk in humility. That's the opposite of pride. So, but we are, in the eyes of God, he says right here, that the wise, or the man of wisdom, shall see thy name. He says, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Now, the rod, that's the judgment of Messiah, the rod, who is, by the way, the Word. And in our text, the voice of the Lord, where it says the Lord's voice. This whole book, you got a book that you got a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red. Mm-hmm. I'm as guilty as anybody. They'll say those are the words of Jesus. Well, the whole book is the words of Jesus.
Amen.
Even when they're quoting Satan in here, those are the words that Jesus wanted us to know.
Amen.
So the whole book is, Jesus is the author. Of course, God the Father used the Son through His Spirit. That's the Trinity. Gave us this book. And the words in red, you have to kind of train yourself to think. Those are the words that Jesus spoke during His incarnation. While he was walking the earth. But the whole book came from Jesus.
Amen.
Now, about this rod, Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The rod is demonstrated in the judgments of God, but the rod is the Word of God. When God does judge someone, let's just use an example. In the book of Revelation, there'll be the great earthquakes. Worse than anything humankind has ever experienced. It'll happen when God says it's going to happen. And how does He say it? Well, in the seals. They'll break the seals and there's a message. You open up and that's the words of God. And then the angel will speak the words of God, and it happens. See how that works? And so we know that's a reference to Jesus. Stem of Jesse. Who's Jesse?
That's David.
King David's father. And then we learn about him first in the last chapter of Ruth. We'll come to that in a future study. And then a branch, and we'll see that in Zechariah. Then in Psalm 2:9, thou shalt break them with a rod. So see, it's how Amen. Jesus is Jesus, but he's called the Word, and he has his Word. It's all just so interconnected.
Amen.
I think it was Frank Antino in our MeWe group that talked about how there is a passage, I think he was in Genesis, but he was talking about it was in Genesis, and it was how the Word of the Lord came to Abraham and said, think of that.
That's cool.
It just doesn't say the Lord came and said. It says the Word of the Lord came and said. Well, who's the Word of the Lord?
Jesus.
And so they're so close. That's what we get accused of being bibliolaters. And they say you worship that book. I've never bowed to this book. I've never prayed to this book. But the funny thing is how close the Word itself puts itself with Jesus. Sometimes you would say, aren't you confusing the two? If you read it literally, you're like, you're saying that the Word is the Word, and the Word is the Word. Small W, capital W. It's that close. He is the Word, capital W. But a lot of people will say he's the living word. Yeah, but there's times where the written word is spoken of in terms of it being a person. Why is that? You can't separate the two. That's how close Jesus and his word are. Something to meditate on, think about. So thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's how he's going to rule from Revelation 19 at the return all the way through the millennium. He'll rule with a rod of iron. Just do a word study on rod. We're not going to spend any more time on that. But it's an amazing study. Rod connected to Jesus and to his word and to how he's going to rule. It's an amazing thing. So then verse 10. Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? And the scant measure that is abominable? The north was filled with, when it says treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, the north had a different religion.
Yep.
And they had it was filled with idols in the north. In the south, they didn't go that far as far as they still had the temple. Up until there were times where idolatry crept in and everything, but they weren't as bad as the north. I'll just put it that way. It's like that joke I tell about the fellow, and he's a wicked, wicked man. When he died, his brother goes to the preacher and says, I'll give you $500 if you'll tell everybody my brother was a saint. So the funeral comes along, and the preacher gets up there and says, well, he told the fellow, okay, I'll do it. And so the funeral takes place, and he says, the man lying before you was a wicked, mean, nasty, lying scoundrel. But compared to his brother, he's a saint. And that's how, when you look at the north and the south, you look at the north and then you look at the south don't look quite as bad. It is bad, but it was still compared to the north. And I just say Ahab, Jezebel, and we'll come back to that in a minute.
Yeah.
So the north was filled with idols, ill-gotten gains, and money changers ripping people off. It says the scant measure that is abominable. How would you feel if you went to we got meat for the church not long ago. I went in and got a couple pounds of this, a couple pounds of that. You know what? I paid for 2 pounds, 2 pounds. And then what if I wasn't paying attention? And I went out and I paid for it, getting the car coming. Jenny's like, that's not 2 pounds. And it says on there it's 2 pounds. And then she put it on the little measuring thing down and said, that's only 1.25 pounds. Now it's only 1.25 pounds. I mean, wouldn't you feel pretty upset about that? Mm-hmm. That's what was going on about everything in business. And I believe that's going on now.
Amen.
How many of you have noticed how much air you get when you open bags of chips and things?
Yeah.
How many of you noticed that the candy bar costs the same, but if you remember how big they used to be and how big they are now?
No, they're all
bite-sized. Yeah, they're all... We like to call them fun size. Yeah, Johnny?
That was just another example of the comparison. It's like you can look at America and see all the bad things happening, but compared to all the other countries, or most of them.
Yeah, compared to China.
It's still...
Or not Nigeria. Yeah.
We used to buy cookies, $2 for 12. It's $2.98 for 10.
Yeah. Price goes up, the amount goes up. Yeah, that's Bidenomics. Yeah.
Now, they wouldn't hesitate, compared to what a dollar could buy in 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could buy 30 Hershey bars for a dollar.
Yeah.
Now you can only buy half a Hershey bar for a dollar.
Somebody made a meme about how, you know, somebody was on line saying, they just assessed my home. It went from $200,000 to now it's $325,000. And so somebody else made a meme and said, you know, hello, your house isn't worth more. It's because your currency's worth less. That's why, you know, most people don't understand. Today in his rally, President Trump was talking about what he called the inflation tax. He claimed to come up with the term, and I know that I've heard that term before. So I don't think he came up with the term, but he thinks he did. But anyway, but it's a true thing. That's all inflation is. With our money system, inflation is nothing but a tax that It's taxation without representation.
Yeah.
And that's the whole Federal Reserve thing. We don't have time to get into all that, or I won't get done. But verse 11 then goes on to say, shall I count them pure with the what?
Wicked
balances. And with the bag of what?
Deceitful weights.
Deceitful weights. How many of you got a quarter? You got a quarter? You know that used to be silver?
Yeah.
Now it's worthless, what, nickel or something like that they use? What are they making out of? Is it aluminum now?
They're the equivalent of sludge.
What are they making out of?
Zinc.
Zinc?
Yeah.
Well, if you get sick, you can eat it, and it might help you. Your money used to be worth something, and people didn't want that paper garbage. They wanted the coins because the coin was made out of gold and silver, and they could go and cash it in for, you know, for gold if they wanted. You can't do that now. And even your paper money, you used to be able to cash it in for the amount it stated. If it's a $100 bill, cash it in for $100 worth of gold. Not anymore. It's just worthless paper. And it's all inflation. It's like an inflation tax, Mark.
Well, like one guy I was listening to on Christian radio one day, he said that our coins have been slugged since 1964.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's all they are.
1982, they took all the, they don't use copper and pennies.
But they used to say, don't take any wooden nickels. Well, now whatever nickel is made out of is worth wood anyway. You, every nickel is about the equivalent of a wooden nickel now. So sellers cheated buyers. Buyers cheated sellers. It was going both ways. It was a constant crooked scam. The honest hard worker got left in the dust. And that's what made God mad. And what just honest hard working people, even the poor and the, you know, the widows and the elderly and people like that, they were all getting taken. So in verse 12, for the rich men thereof are full of violence. And the inhabitants thereof have spoken what?
Lies.
And their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Doesn't that sound like life in America, right? Isn't it?
Amen.
It describes Israel around 710 BC and America now.
Amen.
Same thing. God is disgusted with the whole system.
Amen.
But he's so long suffering. I love God.
Amen.
But sometimes I get a little aggravated with his long suffering. Don't you, be honest?
Yeah.
I get a check, you know, then my spirit, spirit of God, you know, checks me real quick on it. But there's times where I'm like, oh, what's it going to take? Then I'm reminded what he put up with me. So then we see the consequences, verses 13 through 15. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. What we're seeing on TV, like that one fellow said, or one lady said, you know, they've been pumping this Islamic money by the billions into all these schools for decades now. We're just, the chickens have come home to roost. We've been telling kids for 40, 50 years at least in all the public schools that you're nothing but an evolved animal. What do you expect? What are they acting like? Almost unevolved animals.
Dinosaurs?
Huh?
According to evolution, it's dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, they can, I can't keep it up, but they say dinosaurs came from birds or birds came from dinosaurs or something like that. But again, we can look at our own day and see what's happening back then. Just a couple of examples. This is from an advisory board website. I won't go into all of it, but you can look it up. Charted, America's physical health is getting worse.
Amen.
Just telling Jenny, you know, it's funny how things happen is that when, as America went away from being largely farming and small business to more of the industrial thing, along came Orville and Wilbur Wright. Before they did the airplane thing, they were in it, they were selling bicycles. And bicycles were the thing. And I can't remember, this was around before World War I, I believe, when they were doing this. And there were medical findings and research and everything where they said, this is revolutionizing the health of the American people. Everybody's getting healthy all of a sudden because they're all out riding bikes. And now what's everybody doing? We have the most, the strongest thumbs and fingers in the world right now. Because that's all anybody does all day long. This with a... or this. Or with a phone. And but the problem is it's unnatural, so everybody's getting carpal tunnel.
Neck problems, eye problems.
Well, then you have this. An estimated 40 million Americans take psychiatric drugs. That's legal drugs. If you add up everybody taking drugs, 70 million Americans are on mind-altering drugs.
They all voted for Biden.
That explains the 70 million Biden voters. One in five. Now, with this, there are some people who have to have these medicines. We're not telling everybody. But there's no way that many people should be taking this stuff. That's the problem. J. Vernon McGee said this, quote, the northern kingdom of Israel in Micah's day was in the same condition in which we are today. He wrote this when I was about 15 years old. And God brought judgment upon them. Although they were his chosen people as a nation, he brought judgment upon them. Can you imagine what he would say if he was alive today? I mean, you remember the 80s? I'm old enough to remember the 80s. And we're also seeing this. Verse 14. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. Why is that? Part of it is because of what's being eaten. It's not satisfying. You need protein. You need your vegetables that have things that, you know, are supposed to be eaten. God gave them for you to eat before the flood. That's all people ate. And then he gave you meat to eat after the flood because our bodies changed and we need higher protein. But what most people are eating are empty sugars and carbs. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And they had the same problem back then, even before Doritos. It's an amazing thing. Israel would fail on all sides and at every attempt at everything they did. Why? It says, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver. That kind of reminds me of how many times I've ordered things online and it never shows up, or when it does, it's broken. See how it's just the same thing, it's just different, but the same. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. That's kind of interesting to think about it. How much of our tax money is going to war?
Yeah.
Israel is having to spend so much money on defense. And a lot of that was just to gather up all the gold and things that were worth something and send it off and say, please don't attack us. They did that with Assyria once. And Assyria went on. Then later when they needed more, they came back. That's all that will ever get to you, that kind of appeasement. But what are we doing in America? Sending over, you know, what was it this last time? Was it $65 billion over to Ukraine so that they could spend it and Biden and all these crooks can make money off the military-industrial complex? Is that not cheating? Is that not what we're reading about here? Same thing was going on then, and you can see it happening to you and I today. That's how we get, Mark.
Yeah, it's just, you know, look what they did recently, a couple of years ago. We left $85 billion worth of military hardware in Afghanistan.
Yeah, so that they can wage war, and then we have to then supply their enemy.
Another thing is,
you go back and read about these wars, the banksters fund both sides.
Absolutely. Exactly. And the thing is, you were talking about mind-altering drugs. That's what the letters in MAD stand for, the way I see it. Mind altering drugs. Because you got to be mad to take those things.
Yeah. So the end result will be a collapse of the economy and a loss of comfort and pleasure. And we've had that happen in our country already several times. And I'm shocked that it hasn't happened already. Of course, we've said that many times. I'm shocked that the thing just keeps going on. Verse 15 says, "Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil. And sweet wine, but thou shalt not drink wine." So you think in terms of oil and wine, a lot of times the Bible will use those terms to refer to the comforts of life. Plenteous means good times. Scarcity means great depression. That's the bottom line here. We have lived in a land of plenty my whole life. We thought 2008 and the real estate crisis was a big deal. That was nothing. There's nothing. 9/11, really, I don't want to say it's nothing because of the 3,000 lives, but I'm talking economically. Economically, nothing. Nothing in my lifetime, nothing, compared to what my grandparents and great-grandparents went through in two great depressions within 40 or 50 years of each other in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. And we couldn't understand why they would never throw anything away. Why you did not throw leftovers away. One way or another, it got it. As a word they use. But my dad wasn't raised in that. He was born in 43, barely remembers the end of World War II, but he was raised by a mother who lived through that as a child. And so we just laughed about it. We weren't disrespectful, but we did kind of make fun of him a little bit. Because he would eat a box of cereal, and growing up, just like your pizza boxes, that was part of what we would burn in the wintertime. He didn't throw those boxes away. And they'd take the thing out, the bag out of it, rinse it out, put it in the drainer and let it dry. You'd find he would wrap things up when he'd take it to lunch or whatever, or just to wrap something up to put in the refrigerator. You don't need Ziplocs, you got cereal bags.
There you go.
As a kid, I honestly thought it was kind of crazy, but you know, when you've lived through that and then you've been raised by somebody who lived through that, who told you the stories, it makes sense.
Amen.
Jessica?
Every year at Christmas, my dad would get out of his pocket knife and carefully undo that tape. And then I can remember.
Yeah.
Folding all of that and putting some away.
The person that did that most was my grandma, my mom's mom, Grandma Frances. She would do the same thing, fold that neatly and put it over there. Next year, that would be your gift, would be wrapped with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, John.
Yeah. Well, I was told that my grandmother would save a baby grease or hamburger grease and give it to the neighbors so they could have a taste of it.
Yeah. No, the same story for my grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were people would give their neighbors the grease just as an act of charity so they could at least taste.
Yeah.
They put it in things like their beans and things, you know, so they could taste it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never been there, have you?
No. Oh, once.
So what is the root cause of all this? The wise man wants to find the causes. But I'm going to call an audible here, and we're going to pick up their next study. That's where we'll pick up, because I don't want to hang over too long, and I don't want to rush to this. So that's what we'll pick up next week with the causes.
Amen.
And that's just that last verse, but there's a lot we're going to talk about. So with that, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for what you've given us so far as we close out chapter 6. I really hope the only reason I wouldn't finish is because we got raptured. But in this case, we just ran over a little bit, so we'll pick up there next time. And thank you so much for what we did learn, and look forward, if we're not raptured, we look forward to the next studies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so we'll go through all this real quick and get to See, I had a lot.
Yeah.
Think I could do it in 3 minutes? All right, stand if you can, and let's close the song. I have decided. You want to lead it?
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
EBFOnHighwayProtonMail.com. As we say goodbye on three, one, two, three, see you here, there, or in the air.
Bye, everybody.